Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. I just want to share that scripture. That's a scripture God told me to share before I teach anywhere this year. Or actually, he said until he tells me to stop. So maybe the whole year, it may not. But apparently there's a point here that God wants us to keep in the forefront of our minds. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm in the New King James Version, reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The New King James says new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And usually every time I read it, God gives me a little footnote to it. And today he's saying, look, it's important to remember that you're not who you used to be. So stop beating yourself up because of what you did and get about doing what God has called you to do today. Just what he's doing. Don't think about yesterday. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't even think about tonight. What are you to be doing right now? Because as we've heard Pastor Sarah share a number of times, all we have is the breath in our nostrils. We're not even guaranteed the next breath. So let's make the most of what we can right now. I was reading some notes, some old notes, because I have, Pastor Red and I have access to old Pastor Clinton's old notes. And sometimes I'm impressed to just read some of his notes on different subjects. And I saw this. It says, an old gospel song of the 50s and 60s said, we've come this far. I knew you'd know it. I remember going to church and hearing a choir come in. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Well, then what are we doing? Trusting in his holy word. Why? Thus, yeah. Then you go, oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Yes, very good. See, we need to get you out of your seat and have you all up here. We have a mass choir. But I was thinking about that. And yes, we've come this far by faith, but we can't stop where we are. We have to keep going. You know, it doesn't say, won't turn around. It says, can't turn around. See, once you put yourself in the environment of faith, you can't turn around. If you're out there doing what God has told you to do, when God told you to do it, and the way God's told you to do it, you can't stop. You have to keep going. And if you find yourself, you say, well, that sounds great, Pastor Greg, but it seems like I can't get started. You got to change your environment. You have to. Faith doesn't just take you to a certain place and then drop you like a hot potato. Faith is designed to take you through to the complete, to the conclusion. To the conclusion. And then once you conclude one thing, you're into something else. And that cycle will keep happening, but the environment has to be right. Tell your neighbor, your environment has to be right. See, Romans 10:17 is crystal clear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? So we should always be in an environment where we're hearing the word of God. If we want faith working. Think about this. We want to use the video monitors. We want to have lights. you know, you want amplified sounds. You want to be able to use all your electronic devices. We want all of those things. But in order for those things to happen, electricity has to be brought into this room. But just because electricity is in the room is not enough. We have to connect with it. Because even though, just because it's in the room, doesn't mean we got it. It's in the room, it's available. Now we have to connect with it. And then it doesn't stop just because we connected. We have to maintain the connection. We have to maintain it. Because if we disconnect, even though the electricity is still there, if we disconnect, if I turn it off, we won't have the benefit of it. We have to, the electricity doesn't have to stay connected to us. We have to stay connected to it. Do you understand? And if we believe it's there, we have to act like it. We have to act like electricity was brought into this room. We've connected to it, and we've maintained that connection. So the next thing we have to do is act like it. So we turn on the lights and use them. We turn on all of our equipment, and we use it. We do everything. It's comfortable in here now, especially since I took my jacket off. Because we have air conditioning. But we wouldn't have any of that if we didn't realize and understand electricity has been made available to us. I have to connect with it and maintain that connection and then use it. I'm connected to it. I might as well use it. I mean, that's like eating dinner. You cut into that steak, whatever your favorite dinner is, and just hold it there on the fork and never put it in your mouth. This is great. I'm glad I have this. And you don't do anything with it. Eat it. It's yours. It's been prepared for you. You've connected with it. In that same vein, if one has heard the word, believe the word, and is constantly hearing the word, there should be some evidence. There should be some evidence. Have you retained the word? Because if you're consistently hearing the word, you should be able to retain it. You should be able to repeat the word you've heard. And most importantly, folks, you should be acting on it. If we hear the word and are hearing the word, we should be acting on that which we have heard. Or if we believe what we've heard is true. Let's go to James. James 2. This is out of the Voice translation. I'm going to share a verse later. It's going to be in a translation we don't have. So I don't think we have the Johnson paraphrase. But this is in the Voice translation. Beginning with verse 14, reads, "Brothers and sisters, it doesn't make any sense to say you have faith and act in a way that denies that faith." It doesn't make any sense. Say, I have faith, and then act like you don't. It makes no sense. Mere talk never gets you very far. And a commitment to Jesus only in words will not save you. What does it say? If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and what? Believe where? In your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just confessing Jesus is Lord and not believing it in your heart won't do a thing for you. Won't do a thing. Mere talk never gets you very far, and a commitment to Jesus only in words will not save you. It would be like seeing a brother or sister without any clothes out in the cold and begging for food and saying, "Shalom, friend. You should get inside where it's warm and eat something." They're like, "You think?" Okay. But doing nothing about his needs, and we have excuses for that. We know without a shadow of a doubt that if we give that person money, they're going to run and buy some drugs. We know it. So I'm not giving God's money to a druggie so they could buy drugs with it. Well, let's think about that. Have you done everything you're supposed to do with the money God has given you? But does God still say, "Forget you"? It's an attitude. Leaving him cold and alone on the street, what good would your words alone do? The same is true with faith. Without actions, faith is useless. By itself, it's as good as dead. I know what you're thinking. Okay, you have faith and I have actions. Now let's see your faith without works, and I'll show you a faith that works. Don't you realize that faith without works is useless, like a glove without a hand or a hat without a head? Do you think that just believing there is one God is going to get you anywhere? The demons believe that too, and it terrifies them. The fact is, faith has to show itself through works performed in faith. Faith has to show itself through works performed in faith. And if you don't recognize that, then you're an empty soul. I'm not saying that. That's in the Voice translation. Now, I want you to put a bookmark there because we got to take a little journey, and we'll get back to James. Go to Luke 18 because we're talking about works performed in faith. Luke 18. I'm in the Passion Translation. Beginning with verse 18. One day, a wealthy Jewish nobleman of high standing posed this question to Jesus. "Wonderful teacher, what must I do to be saved and receive eternal life?" Jesus answered, "Why would you call me wonderful? There is only one who is wonderful, and that's God alone. You already know what is right and what the commandments teach. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not lie, and respectfully honor your father and your mother." The wealthy leader replied, "These are the very things I've been doing for as long as I can remember." "Ah," Jesus said, "but there's still one thing you're missing in your life." "What is that?" asked the man. "You must go and sell everything you own and give all the proceeds to the poor, so you will have eternal treasures. Then come and follow me." Then come, after you've emptied yourself of all your connections to this world, come, follow me. Now think about this. Jesus said there was one thing that was missing. You know what that one thing was? Faith. Faith. The man had faith. He had faith. But his faith was in his wealth and his possessions. Whatever he wanted or desired, he already had the means to get because of his great wealth. So you could say, why do I need faith in God? I have shekels. Lots and lots of shekels. Okay. But Jesus was trying to get the man to put his faith in spiritual things. And I know that so because he said to the man, you will have eternal treasures. So Jesus wanted to get him over out of the natural into the supernatural, out of the earthly realm into the spirit realm. Verse 23 says, when the rich leader heard these words, he was devastated, for he was extremely wealthy. Jesus saw his disappointment, and looking right at him, he said, it's next to impossible for those who have everything to enter into God's kingdom realm. Nothing could be harder. It could be compared to trying to stuff a rope through the eye of a needle. What? Once you've gotten used to you being your source, it becomes difficult to get you to unhook yourself from you and hook yourself up, connect yourself with God and what God has said in general and what God has said specifically to you and about you. We want to have faith in that. We need to be in an environment where we hear and do all that God says. This man recognized Jesus' anointing. He did. He said, wonderful teacher. And think about the question, the amount of respect he had to have for Jesus because of the question he asked him. What must I do to have eternal life? You don't go and ask that question to somebody you think is a knucklehead. You go to somebody who you believe knows the right answer to that question. So he knew Jesus was someone to be recognized and reckoned with. But what happened with him, with that man, still happens to this very day. You recognize an anointing until that anointed one says something you don't like. Go ahead, say amen. Amen. I'm not asking you to say guilty. Okay. But as long as the word being heard tickles your fancy, great word. The moment it challenges you, well, I don't know about that. Then you start thinking about what other pastors have said and other ministers have said that contradict what the pastor God gave you after his own heart said to you. See, the reason that happens is because when you hear what God wants you to do, when you're told how to do it the way God wants it done, it does something to us. It takes us, it causes us to come out of our comfort zone. And we don't like doing things that are, I don't like doing things that are uncomfortable. I'll do them, but I don't like it. You don't have to like it. Do it. Why? Because the one who gave you that information loves you. And they told you that out of love. And if you love them, then you'll do what they ask out of love. You're going to trust the love that they have for you. But I want to talk a bit about your comfort zone, because when I heard it caused you to come out of your comfort zone, and then I'm ready to, okay, God, that sounds good. I want to move on because I'm thinking something else. He said, no, whoa, go back to comfort zone. So now I'm spending time going, reading some online resources about comfort zone. And there's so many different articles by a vast number of people. And I didn't have the time because usually I don't like to quote a source until I read up on who said it and who they are. And so I just took God at his word. And normally I don't use Wikipedia. Okay. But in this case, Wikipedia was a good summary of all of the other articles. So this is what it says about a comfort zone. It's a psychological state in which things feel familiar to a person and they are at ease and perceive they are in control of their environment, experiencing low levels of anxiety and stress. In this zone, a steady level of performance is possible. One contributor defined the term as a behavioral state where a person operates in an anxiety-neutral position. Another described it as where our uncertainty, scarcity, and vulnerability are minimized, where we believe we'll have access to enough love, food, talent, time, and admiration. Listen to this. It's a place where we feel we have control. Comfort zone. And everybody likes to operate in their comfort zone. Everybody. I don't know of a person who says, forget comfort. Give me stuff that's uncomfortable all the time. No, everybody desires to operate in their comfort zone. And that's okay. I'm going to tell you how you can do that in a minute. But if we're not mindful, our desire to be comfortable will turn into selfishness. Because the comfort zone is all about me. It's all about how I feel. It's all about having my needs met. It's all about me having control. You keep focusing on that, you'll turn into a selfish person, only concerned about yourself and not concerned about others. But here's the kicker. Faith is designed to allow us to be in a comfort zone wherever we find ourselves. I don't think you heard that. Okay. Faith, active faith, is designed to always have you in a comfort zone. You know why? Remember, a comfort zone is a psychological state. Comfort zone is based on what you think and what you believe in your heart. Makes you comfortable. If you believe in your heart that it's not going to be comfortable, guess what? It's not going to be comfortable. So faith that's active, faith that's working, will always allow you to be comfortable no matter what you're going through, because the source of your comfort is the love of your God. And if you believe that God's love never fails, never fades out or comes to an end, you'll always be comfortable whenever you're doing what he said. The only time we should feel uncomfortable is when we're in disobedience to God's word. We shouldn't feel comfortable being a sinner. We shouldn't be comfortable doing something apart from God's word. If God says cut it loose. Don't say, I'm going to use my faith to believe it'll change. God didn't say change it. He said cut it loose. And we have to realize that. I said this here last Sunday. Faith isn't designed as a workaround to keep you to keep from doing what God told you to do. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But if you don't like them, use your faith and you can do something else. He didn't say that. So we have to realize that if we are living by faith, then we're doing what God said when he says and the way he says, and we're not thinking about whether or not it makes us comfortable. As I said earlier, Jesus didn't go to the Father and say, this is uncomfortable. He said, if you're willing, remove this. If not, your will, not my will. That's all he said. He didn't come and have a whole list of demands and tell God, I'll do it, but, or if. No, if it has to be this way, let it be your will and not my will, period. So he's telling God, even though I feel like I don't want to do this, I want to do what you say. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to God. I don't want to have this meeting with this person. But you put me in this position. That's part of my responsibility. What would you have me say? You said, let my words be seasoned as with salt, so I'll know how to answer anyone. So please season my tongue so the words that come out of my mouth to this person or these individuals are seasoned. Because if it's seasoned, see, you could tell someone something that they may not like, but it's for their good, and you say it in such a way that it tastes good because it's well seasoned. I don't care what seasoned food tastes better than unseasoned food. Both are good for you. One, it's more likely you'll receive and eat all of it. If it's not seasoned, sometimes you pick around it. You know, as my dad used to say, you know, you pick at it. You know. Now, we're going to get back to James, but we got to go a couple of places first. Let me make this statement first, because I almost forgot it. Faith is designed to allow us to be in a comfort zone wherever we find ourselves or in spite of what we face. So it doesn't matter. David was very comfortable going after Goliath. Very comfortable. It was not like in the movies where they have him taking a few steps and ducking behind a rock. And no, the Bible said he ran towards the giant. Ran towards him. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have to send his army out to find the three Hebrew boys because they were in hiding. No. They were summoned. They came right up. They knew what was going to happen. They didn't care. They were very... They're very comfortable telling a king who terrorized an entire nation, we don't even have to think about what you said. Our God will deliver us out of your hand, O king, because they were sure, they were confident, they were relying on the love of God. And they knew the love of God was going to keep them. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, we'll start. This is in the Johnson paraphrase, so you may not see the words on the screen. Apostle Paul, we know this account as Paul's thorn, is what it's commonly called. Paul said, to keep me from building my self-worth on a number of ecstatic experiences I've had, the adversary gave me a physical impediment, and it helps me keep a sane estimate of myself. I prayed earnestly about that impediment. In fact, three times I asked the Lord to remove it. Why? Why do you think he wanted it gone? Wasn't comfortable. He said three times. It doesn't say anywhere in here he went out to minister to the people, but that was still there, so he came back and went to God and left and went out and got more people added to the kingdom and came back and said, God, please. No, he didn't do anything else because he was so fixed on this uncomfortable thing that he was experiencing. He said, three times I asked the Lord to remove it, and he replied to me, my unconditional love for you will sustain you. My strength in you comes to full maturity when you're most subject to your weakness. Or you could say, the way God gave to me, when you are not in your self-described comfort zone, my strength is made perfect in you. So I'll celebrate my physical weaknesses and rely more deeply on the energy of Christ. I choose to have a positive attitude. That's what Paul said. Remember now, comfort zone is a psychological condition. He said, I choose to have, I choose to have a positive attitude. When you choose to have a positive attitude, it'll always be well with you. No matter what you're facing. No matter what the diagnosis is, no matter what the prognosis is, no matter what comes, doesn't matter what your accountant says, your lawyer says, none of that matters. Because none of them have the ability to change your mind. The only one who can do that is you. You look at all the things that are going on and you decide, this is the way I'm going to feel about it. That's really what happens. There is not a circumstance in this world that comes and you absolutely have no choice other than respond negatively toward it. There's no circumstance that will come, can come and force you to say anything. You decide what you're going to feel, what you're going to say, and ultimately what you're going to do. You decide. If you're in an environment for faith to work, your decision will be based on faith, which will be based on the word that you have been hearing, because you're always hearing. You didn't hear the word and then turn it off. Say, okay, I heard it. I don't have to hear it anymore. No, you're constantly hearing the word. Verse 10. So I will celebrate my physical weaknesses and rely more deeply on the energy of Christ. I choose, there's that word again, I choose to have a positive attitude towards life in spite of my weakness. Listen to this. I choose to have a positive attitude toward life in spite of my weaknesses, those who insult me, or my unmet needs, or my persecutions, or the stress I experience for Christ's sake. Each time I feel weak, I am made aware of my source of energy. Why? Because you're in an environment of faith. You're in the environment. If it gets too warm in here, I could ask the elders, please crank up the air conditioning. Why? I know we're connected. I know that connection is solid. So I want the room cooler. So I just we say crank it up, but really it's set up, put it on a lower setting. Don't crank it up, it'll get too hot in here. Each time I'm weak, I'm made aware of my source of energy. So we determine, think about this, we determine our own comfort zone. The devil doesn't determine it, and God doesn't determine it. You determine. I'm comfortable doing this. There's some folks, one of the things that I've had discussions, Pastor Red and I were always discussing. This was years ago when we first became co-pastors, and we were talking about, you know, deacons and elders and ministers and responsibility. And I said, the Bible says that a bishop or an overseer or a deacon should be apt to teach. So I think we schedule folks to teach. And well, some may not be comfortable teaching. It ain't about comfort. It's about obedience. If it comes with the territory. I can't, when Pastor Sarah told me what God told her about me and then Ed Funsign, I couldn't say, okay, I'll accept it, but I'm only going to do, I'm comfortable doing this and this. I'm not comfortable doing any other stuff. No. Once the anointing is placed on you, once you receive the calling, then you're responsible and you'll be held accountable for every aspect of that calling. Period. Hebrews 13, Amplified Classic. Now, all these are familiar scriptures. I haven't given you a scripture that you've never seen, and I never will. Because if you've never seen it, then I just created. I'm not going to do that. But this is the Amplified Bible. It reads, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice. Does everyone know what avarice is? The desire to gain and hoard wealth. All right. Lust and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. Be satisfied, be comfortable where you are. That's what it's saying. Be comfortable where you are, be comfortable with what you have. That's what it's telling us. Why? For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. He said, I won't do that in any way. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Now, you think about that. Even if someone did something or made a choice concerning you that was wrong, you should stay comfortable. Because God said he will not in any degree leave you helpless. In any degree. He didn't say unless, you know, your employer makes the wrong choice. Unless someone else gets promoted. He didn't say that. He said, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. He said, so we take comfort, so we can be comfortable, so we can operate in our comfort zone, and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? The Bible is filled with verses like that, folks, that lets us know that our faith allows us to be in a state of complete comfort no matter what's going on. No matter how hectic things may seem, we can stay comfortable. We can stay relaxed. We can keep doing what God called us to do, and we can stop worrying. How many of you have ever solved anything by worrying about it? So why do we worry? If worrying never worked, why do we keep doing it? I mean, that's a question. How many of us have ever worried? Tell the truth, raise that hand. All right. Did the situation change? Well, actually, it did. It got worse. We worry because we decide, I'm not comfortable. This is outside of my comfort zone. I'm not accustomed to this. I'm not used to working like this. I'm not used to this. And the next thing we know, we're at the doctor because our stomachs are bothering us. And if you that go to a doctor like one of mine, he said, listen, it's not what you eat that causes an ulcer. It's what eats you. Okay. That's what he told me. I said, what do you mean? Well, when does it flare up? Does it flare up just after you eat? Or does it flare up when you get aggravated? Like, you know the answer. He said, If you're going to choose to allow things to upset you, you know, get two holsters and put milk and magnesia in my Lanta, okay, and carry them around with you because you're going to need them. Or you can stop letting things bother you. I'm not there yet. I'm closer than I used to be. Like I said, the Bible's filled with verses that lets us know that our faith will allow us to be in a state of complete comfort regardless of any circumstance that comes. Okay, now let's go back to James. Because I got to finish. Because we've been gone a while, I may repeat a few verses. James 2, beginning with verse 14, and this is the Voice translation. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't make any sense to say you have faith and act in a way that denies that faith. Mere talk never gets you very far, and a commitment to Jesus only in words will not save you. It will be like seeing a brother or sister without any clothes out in the cold and begging for food and saying, "Shalom, friend, you should get inside where it's warm and eat something," but doing nothing about his needs, leaving him cold and alone on the street. What good would your words alone do? The same is true with faith. Without actions, faith is useless. By itself, it's as good as dead. I know what you're thinking. Okay, you have faith, I have actions. Now let's see your faith that works, and I'll show you a faith that works. Don't you realize that faith without works is useless, like a glove without a head or a hat without a like a glove without a hand or a hat without a head? Don't you think that just believing there's one God is going to get you anywhere? The demons believe that too, and it terrifies them. The fact is, faith has to show itself through works performed in faith. If you don't recognize that, then you're an empty soul. Wasn't our father Abraham made right with God by laying his son Isaac on the altar? Faith in his heart. Remember, if you say to the mountain, "Be thou removed and be not cast into the sea," and you shall not doubt where? In your heart, you'll have what you say. The faith in his heart was made known in his behavior. The faith in your heart will always show itself in your actions. In fact, his commitment was perfected by his obedience. That's what the scripture means when it says Abraham entrusted himself to God and God credited him with righteousness. And living a faithful life earned Abraham the title of God's friend. Just like our father in the faith, Abraham, we are made right with God through good works, not simply by what we believe or think. It's not enough to say, "I believe." It's not enough to say, "I think God will." You have to act like you believe. You have to act like you think God will. And you act like it by doing what the word says you can do. Period. Acting like you have what the word says you have. Period. Even Rahab, the prostitute, was made right with God by hiding the spies and aiding in their escape. By removing action from faith is like removing breath from a body. All you have left is a corpse. That's all you have left. All you have left is death. All you have left is lack. All you have left is poverty. All you have left is sickness and disease. All you have left is hostility. Why? Because you didn't act on the word that you heard. So you were saying you have faith, and then your actions said were denying the very faith you've been claiming. Faith, when faith is present, there should be works in progress. Period. If faith is present, there's works. It's like you're walking into a workplace. It's like, anybody ever go past by road construction? Especially don't go 80 West after 9 o'clock in the evening. Because they're doing construction. on the road, and they have it all set up. You know something? They don't care who's inconvenienced. They don't care. They put up their barricades. They put up the blinding lights. So you have to buy those glasses you see on late night TV to keep the glare out. They work. I'm telling you, they work. And they go to work. They do what they're supposed to do. They put everything was set in place for them to get out there and repair the roadway. And they didn't set up everything, pull all the barricades, put the flashing signs to warn you that at 10 a.m. this is going to happen. They put all that stuff in place, then they acted on it. What's the result? Nice, smooth roadway. Nice, smooth roadway. How many of you like a nice, smooth roadway? I'll tell you something. Physically, you ain't going to have it. Physically, you are not going to have it. Spiritually, because of your faith, be smooth as glass. You'll just go right through. Right through. When faith is present, there should be works in progress. And we know faith comes by, that means it's a continual process. How do you know that? Because it says ing. That means it keeps going. Keeps continuing. It's always happening. We have to keep hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith flourishes in a work environment. Flourishes. If there's no work, it dies. We have to learn environmental control. Okay. I'm just going to share these thoughts with you, then I'm going to unhook. We're going to learn environmental control. Then we have to give hearing the word our undivided attention. We're going to have to, by faith, adopt a humble and teachable attitude. We're going to have to lay aside and get rid of personal attitudes and prejudices. It'll prevent you from hearing the word. We're going to have to reject conflicting information. Reject it. We're going to have to meditate in the word and make the word the source and center of our lives. And because the word of God is where we get continual understanding, or you can say continual revelation, of what you can accomplish when you put your faith to work. And after you've done that, then you just need to allow your faith to work by acting on every word that you heard. You do those things, folks, you'll create an environment for your faith to flourish, for acts of faith to just flourish. Your understanding will just explode with everything, with the knowledge of everything that you can accomplish with the faith that you have. Everything. The word, you'll see it in the word. I didn't know faith could do that. Well, it does. It can. And it will if you act on it. And then you just act on it. And then you're reading something in the word, you say, oh, I didn't know faith could do that. And you act on it. And your environment stays comfortable. No matter how much distress is going on around you, you'll always be at peace. You'll always be at comfortable, because you know that faith without works, apart from works, is like a body without breath. It's a corpse. We're not going to have any dead faith. Tell your neighbor, my faith is going to be active. My faith is going to be alive. And I'm keeping my environment because I want my faith to flourish. Father, we thank you. Give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that your word allows us to be in control of how we feel about everything or anything. And we thank you, Lord, that we now know and understand and have the revelation that we create an atmosphere where we can hear and keep hearing your word. And as we hear your word and meditate on it and allow it to drop into our hearts, it comes forth from our hearts as works. And that works just keeps energizing our faith. And we keep that cycle going. Thank you for showing us how to stay connected to the source. Your word, the source of our faith. And we keep the connection. We keep the connection solid, and we do the works because of connection with you. So we thank you, Lord, that in the weeks, days, even hours to come, the word that we heard will just rise up in us in every situation, and we'll operate in faith and do the works that faith demands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.